Blog Talk Radio.
Lucifer, son of the morning, I'm gonna chase you out of earth.
Shalom, Barakathah, brothers and sisters, hear, O Israel. The Lord our God is one. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. To those of the awakening, to those that are just listening, to those on the cusp, to those going through, to those that are holding on, to those that are encouraged, I salute you on this Shabbat. Welcome to At Last Ministries. Broadcast of the Blueprint for Life. The Most High has given us a blueprint for life, which exists in the statutes, laws, and commandments that He gave in the Torah and the Tanakh that were never done away with. How can you do away with the schoolmaster? And if we throw away the foundation, the whole house be destroyed. Truly, the Torah and the Tanakh and the commandments are our foundation. Everything else, of course, in this hour is dissipating, fading away, corroding, and becoming condemned. It's just not standing any longer. Those that have done away with what is the foundation and that truly exists and said that only the New Testament or certain things exist, they're beginning to corrode away with their prosperity message and their just live by grace message. We're seeing it fall to pieces all around us. But thanks be to the Most High that He has a remnant of people that though we're going through Jacob's trouble, though we're being tormented, crucified, persecuted on every side, we have a foundation on which to hold to and to come back to as we remain resilient and we keep bouncing back and we hold fast, because it's by faith that we believe in these commandments. 1 John 2, 3, and 4 tells us that we hereby do know that we love him if we keep his commandments. For if we say we love him and we keep not his commandments, we're liars and the truth is not in us. 1 John 3 and 4 lets us know that to not keep his commandments is sin. For it says sin is transgression of the law. Which is why every Shabbat, which is the true day of worship before the Catholic Church tried to change it, the seventh day is why we assemble ourselves together over the airwaves. This may go away one day, the airwaves, the internet. So wherever you are in your local assemblies, your regions, or if you're starting one, or if it's in your home or with your family, it's important that we come together, read the law, remember, keep the faith, keep pressing on, and be like Apostle Shaul. This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind me, I press toward the mark to obtain the prize for the high calling, which is in Yeshua HaMashiach, Christ Jesus, our one true Lord, our one true Elohim. And we await his return to release us from this captivity that we're in. We're going to talk about some of that captivity and what's happening around us in modern times, and what's happening according to scriptures as the Most High has laid out. Let's go before the Father in prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. May thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Father, we lift up prayers for the scattered diaspora of the 12 tribes of Israel that are a little discouraged at what they see, but may they be strengthened and increased by your word today as we remember your laws, your statutes, and your promises and your commandments today. Strengthen us. Heal our minds, heal our hearts, refresh our spirits, refresh our souls. No matter what we have to do on this day, we know that you've given us a day of rest and peace. So we rest our minds and we refrain from using our own words as we seek you. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven is truly our prayer. May hope, encouragement, and courage be instilled in the remnant of your people that you have a mark on as we persevere through Jacob's trouble, through this time of transition, Bible prophecy fulfillment. May we hold fast to your hand as you navigate us through. May the oil of joy be poured upon your people throughout the four corners of the earth. Peace, I pray, and the prosperity of peace be upon them, I pray. Thank you for every blessing. Thank you for every mountain, every valley. Thank you for your son. Thank you for your commandments. Thank you for your law. Thank you for what you've done and what you're going to do. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, we pray. Amen. Shabbat Shalom, Elder Andre.
Hey, Shabbat Shalom.
How's it going with you?
Oh, pretty good, pretty good. You know, glad to see another Sabbath. And, you know, it's coming to the days where we'll be truly saying that. I mean, it's here now where, you know, where things are just happening so much on this earth to our people that you'll be saying, you know, man, I'm just glad to see another day. You know, so I'm glad to see another Sabbath.
Amen. I'm with you on that. It's a blessing to make it from week to week. Truly, I feel that we're being just blown away every week by what we see in the news, but you know, this is just that generation where everything's being fulfilled. So who are we to pray against Bible prophecy?
That's true.
Yeah, or to try to fight against it. You know, sometimes I don't I just check myself to make sure I'm not compromising, but it can be frustrating to all of us to be in this time and be just some of the few who are willing to forsake Christmas, Thanksgiving, the way of the world, things that the world does, their peace, their leisure, their joy, their money. And because we've chosen to take this path, it's a little bit different for us. And I think we've come to realize that. And that's why it's so important for us to encourage one another and exhort one another in hymns and songs and the commandments, because we are set apart. We are the called out, set apart. And it truly is difficult for us in this time. And I think we forget that when we go through our trials, but we're supposed to go through something and count it all joy in the process.
That's true, because it's going to be worth it. It's going to be worth it. It's going to be worth it in the end. And the Most High, especially to those who have turned to Him and turned to His Torah ways, His Tanakh ways, and live according by their faith in His Word, that He will recompense us, and He's going to do that. One of the things that He feared the Most High, regarding us people, and I shouldn't say fear, because He don't fear anything, but troubled Him, I should say, the most, is when we were headed to the Promised Land. And a few times He said to us, okay, when you get there and you get in these houses and you get and you claim these lands and you know, everything is, and you're prospering, don't forget about me. You know, and no, almost no sooner than we got there, or no sooner than Yahshua and Caleb and those fellas died off, the scripture says that that they told, there's a generation that rose up and that didn't even know him, didn't know his name, didn't know nothing. So they had totally turned away almost no sooner than they got there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the things that I am concerned about here in the Americas, with the S to it, South America, Central, islands and all, that that some of us then prospered. And so therefore, and, you know, for the most part, compared to where we've been from slavery up until now, almost all of us then prospered in some kind of way.
Right.
And, you know, and the education and everything, and will we remember him and turn back to him, even though, you know, we're in this, even though we're in Babylon, even though we're in Egypt, if I can put it in the spiritual sense, will we remember him and turn to him despite your prosperity and everything? And here's the thing. I was thinking about this last night when I went to bed, that, you know, I look at these Malcolm X films, and I look at Martin Luther King films and Mandela and all this, and all the stuff that is happening, that was happening to us. Is it going to get worse than that? And I believe it is, because Jacob's trouble is supposed to be like none other. And that's a, you know, some of us, when I was growing up, I grew up in the midst of that, but I was a child, so I didn't get a chance to really fully, you know, like the adults, get the full grasp of it. But, you know, I used to say, man, I'm glad I wasn't living back when such and such was going on. Well, you know, it's going to be happening now.
Right. In other words, we're going to get our fair share as well, this generation, because with all the race riots that they're trying to provoke right now, and they like to keep putting reminders of these slave movies in our face and race baiting movies to get people upset. And, you know, movies like this Selma, Alabama movie that's coming out that's putting the 60s back in our face with Martin Luther King, 12 Years a Slave, Django, and then now they're showing every time they can find a cop having killed a black person, they're quick to hurry up and put it in the media now. They just want, it's been happening forever, but now it's like, hurry up and put it in the media and blow it up and let's get everybody just ticked off. And now you got pictures of white people supporting, saying we support the police department. Pictures of 20 white women in white t-shirts saying we support the NYPD and killing unarmed innocent black people. And so they're doing everything they can to incite these race riots while at the same time coming out with more biblical movies and making every character in the biblical movie white of an Edomite or Caucasian. And it's just to incense the people because it's pushing us more and more into Jacob's trouble. There's going to be crime in the streets. There's going to be shooting down of people, incarceration, internment camps. And so, yeah, you're going to have to be made sure. I was speaking with my wife the other day, and we were talking about the fact that they're closing tons of supermarkets. One supermarket chain has bought two supermarket chains, and they're looking to close them. But you know what I said in my spirit is that they know that soon not only will the American public be able to afford food, but there's going to be a shortage of food. So they're not going to be making as much money in these supermarkets because there's going to be a famine in the land, as the scripture said. There will be famine during Jacob's trouble. So they're not going to be able to afford to keep these stores open when the depression hits because all the jobs are gone. So they're giving us the illusion that the economy's okay by lowering the gas prices and giving us a temporary relief while we're drunk with the holidays. Everybody's drunk with the holidays, Christmas trees, gifts, the music. Everybody's under a spell, a hypnotic witchcraft spell. And when it's all over, come around February, everybody's going to wonder what the hell happened, what's going on, where are we? And we're not in Kansas anymore, Toto. It's going to be over. And that's when things are going to start to heighten up because we've been distracted here in the Americas with the race stuff while our democracy and killing of other people in other countries is still taking place. Dictatorship of Obama, the vaccinations, we can't feed Africans, we can't give them shelter, but we vaccinating every African we can. The Ebola virus is still happening, but everybody's forgotten because everybody's under a spell. And so, you know, you're absolutely right with that and what's getting ready to take place and what's happening. And so we can't become desensitized or lose our faith, which is why I think this Shabbat is so important, even with us just coming together to pray and remember these commandments and laws and keep the feasts and festivals.
Man, that's so true. And you know, that's really... the answer to our problems. The scripture says that's the answer to our problems is turning back to His Word, turning back to the Most High, all the way, not just some of the way, and just forsake every heathen, Gentile, devil way. If we want to. For example, the Yoel says that one day, regarding those who want to be saved, to call on the name of the Lord, that one day we'll call on the name of the Lord and then we'll be saved. Excuse me for misquoting the scripture. I'm just putting it in my own words. Those who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Mm-hmm. And, but the thing is, it doesn't say Lord. It mentions His name. And so for those who, He says, draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. You know, seek and you shall find. You know, for those who seek in Him would know His name to even call on it. because you can't call on Baal anymore like we do every Sunday. And, you know, other if I could say other gods, you can't, you know, if they're not gods, but, you know, they're gods to us. Can't call on them no more, because just like on Mount Carmel with the prophet, they're not going to answer.
Mm-hmm.
That's
and
right.
So, only those who have a relationship with him. I was thinking the other day, and, you know, sorry for talking so much, but I was thinking the other day that I hope that we Hebrews aren't getting the messages that the other Hebrews are sending out regarding black folks. Because everybody's black. Just because you're black doesn't mean that you're covered. I mean, Nimrod was black. Philistines were black.
That's right. That's right.
So, the Egyptians were black. So, you know, just because you're black don't mean that, okay, I'm black, he's going to deliver me. You're still going to have a relationship and through faith believe in the atoning blood, washed, you know, and all that, and believe that the Father had provided for us the salvation through the Mashiach. You know, that will be saved. Can't
That's
just,
right.
okay, let your color think that your color is going to save you.
That's right.
You know, and that's some of the things that me and you had talked about in the past.
Yeah, because, I mean, these folks are living in an abomination. They have defiled their temples. They have denied the Most High and have been turned over to a reprobate mind. And, so we know who the true children of Israel are, the meek that have inherited the earth. And there will be other nations that will be kingdom, but they won't be ruling. And they will be serving those that are the children of Israel. And they come in many different hues and like that. And but like you just said, more importantly, it's going to be those that keep these commandments. It's going to be those whose hearts he has plucked, and that have been obedient to the Ruach when it was leading and guiding them into all truth.
Mm-hmm.
And that truth is these commandments, these statutes and laws that he has written in our hearts. But people have a tendency not to listen to their heart. I know you probably got a lesson, but along with everything you're saying right now, I just wanted to read Jeremiah 9. And if you want to have a commentary on anything I read after I read this, please do so. Because it's tying in with everything that you're saying right now. Jeremiah 9 and 17. Thus said the Lord of hosts, consider ye and call for the mourning women, that they may come, and send for cunning women, that they may come, and let them make haste and take up a wailing for us, that our eyes may run down with tears and our eyes gush out with waters. For a voice of wailing is heard out of Zion. How are we spoiled? We are greatly confounded because we have forsaken the land because of our dwellings have cast us out. And this is when the Most High was talking about Jerusalem crying out for help, and the women were praying and lamenting, and it reached heaven, and we had been cast out of our land, and we were confounded because of our sins and disobeying the commandments. Jeremiah 9 and 20. Yet hear the word of the Lord, O ye women, and let your ear receive the word of his mouth, and teach your daughters wailing, and every one her neighbor lamentation. Verse 21, for death is come up into our windows and is entered into our palaces to cut off the children from without and the young men from the streets. Speak thus, said the Lord, even the carcasses of men shall fall as dung upon the open field, which is the streets, and as the handful after the harvestmen, and none shall gather them, meaning they'll lay in the streets dead like Mike Brown. Verse 23, thus said the Lord. I'm sorry?
No, I'm just sitting here just taking it in.
Okay, verse 23, thus said the Most High, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might, and let not the rich man glory in his riches. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am which exercises loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, said the Most High. Behold, the days come, said the Most High, that I will punish all them which are circumcised, along with the uncircumcised, Egypt, Judah, Edom, Ammon, Moab, and all that are in the uttermost corners that dwell in the wilderness, for all these nations are uncircumcised, and all the house of Israel are uncircumcised in their hearts. Now, when you go back to verse 21, it talks about Jacob's trouble, even when the death has come up into our windows, meaning death has come upon us and it's coming. And it's saying that he is sending it because he delivers righteousness and loving kindness in verse 24. And verse 19 puts me back into this, where we are right now. It says, for a voice of wailing is heard out of Zion. How are we spoiled? We are greatly confounded, because we have forsaken the land, because our dwellings have cast us out. So I think that is really indicative of this time. I'm sorry, go ahead.
And sometimes when the Most High mentions Zion, sometimes he don't mention Zion as we're in Zion. Sometimes he just names Jacob or the children of Israel. He just calls them Zion.
Right. And it's a time of lamenting and wailing right now, and I think like never before we need to find ourselves praying, teaching the women, the children, how to pray and lament and cry out to the Most High. For if my people that are called by my name will humble themselves and seek my face, there's nothing we can do. It's in his hands. And verse 24 says that, you know, I am he which exercises loving kindness and judgment and righteousness. So he created the evil. He's in charge of the good. He'll protect those he wants to protect. Judgment will come upon those, even those who are Judah, like you just said. Everything black or African American, whatever you want to call yourself, you're not protected. Judgment is coming on you because your heart is not circumcised. That's what that scripture just said. Your heart is not circumcised. You may have been circumcised physically. And Ammon and Moab, they don't even get circumcised physically. But because your heart is not circumcised and cleansed, and that was what you were just talking about, a circumcision of the heart.
Right. And, you know, there's two scriptures I want to bounce off that, because we're on Jacob's trouble. So let me just go to Jeremiah 30. Is it 30 and 9 or 30 and 7? Hold on, let me go there. Jeremiah 30 and 7. Well, let me start at verse 4, and it says, and these are the words that Ahiah spake concerning Israel and concerning Judah. So it's not concerning anybody else. It's not concerning, you know, none of these so-called churches. For thus says Ahiah, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Ask now and see whether a man does travail with a child. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins as a woman in travail, and all faces are turned into paleness. We can go on that for a minute too, but I'm going to keep on.
Mm-hmm.
Alas, for that day is great and none like it. So it hasn't been none like what's going to happen before. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but we shall be saved out of it. Now, we're going to go back to this in a minute, but let's turn to Deuteronomy, which is Deborah, Deuteronomy 31:17. let me know when you're ready, and I'll start reading.
Okay, go ahead.
Then my anger shall be kindled. Well, let me start at 16. And Ahiah said unto Moses, behold, thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, and this people will rise up and go whoring, talking about Israel, will go whoring after the gods of the strangers of the land, whether they go to be among them, and will forsake me and break my covenant which I have made with them. Then my anger shall be kindled against them in that day, and I will forsake them, and I will hide my face from them, and they shall be devoured in many evils, and and hear that word again, and troubles shall befall them. And they that will say in that day, are not these evils come upon us because our Most High is not among us? Let me just read one more. And I will surely hide my face in that day and all the evils which they shall have wrought, in that they have turned to other gods. And so he's letting them know. He was letting Moses know even back then about Jacob's trouble that's gonna come, and it's our fault. It's not that we're living for him, and while we're living for him, these troubles come. Matter of fact, it'd be just the opposite. If we wasn't living for him, one would chase a thousand. You know, two would chase ten. You know, so it would have been just the opposite if we would have been living for him. David is a perfect example. Joshua is a perfect example. Going back to Jeremiah 30:7, it says, you know, like great is that day, because I want to just break down this word. It's even a time of Jacob's trouble, and but he shall be saved out of it. So two words I want to talk about there is the trouble and saved. That word trouble in the Hebrew is the word zar or zara. Is that word? It means distress. It means, matter of fact, Satan and demons are, this word mentions more time referring to them, the enemies of Israel, the oppressors of Israel, the adversaries of Israel. It mentions Zara, and it mentions Oyab or Ob, which is the same as Job, you know, but, you know, the meaning of Job, not the guy Job, but just the name, Oyab, referring to the enemies of Israel. And also that there is more than one Satan, because that in the Hebrew, sometimes Satan is used in plural.
Right.
You know,
that's another lesson we're going to have to get into to let people know that there is mention of more than one Satan in one.
Right. And, you listeners, just hold on for a second. So going back to the word czar, trouble, those are referring to the enemies of Israel, the czars, now, when you break down that word czar, you'll see the connection between the spiritual enemies and the physical enemies of Israel. For example, the Khazars, as in the Romans or Caesar or whatever, that word is in there. They were enemies of Israel. There's other words I'm trying to think of that has czars in it. But this word czar is referring not only to the Edomites, but to the Greeks and Romans were part of the Edomites, but Tsar plays a big role in Scripture. I run across that word a lot, as far as those that troubles us, those that, matter of fact, diseases can be Tsars. You know, so it goes into the physical and it goes into the spiritual, as far as adversaries, oppressors, distress, troubles, fear, things that causes us discomfort. It falls under Tsar, and it also falls under Ayob, Oyab. And so this is Jacob's trouble, but he says, and I'm going by memory instead of looking it up, that we shall be saved out of it. Now, either it's going to be, but we're going to be Yahushua out of it, or we're going to be Hosea out of it, both referring to Yahushua, who the church calls Jesus. I had to say that just in case someone on the air like, well, who is Yahushua? Yeah. Or Yahshua, you know, I just mentioned that. But we're going to be saved out of it. And, you know, if you're near a computer, maybe you can tell me which word that is. I'm thinking it's because it says saved instead of salvation, probably Hosea out of it. Or I can look it up. Which one
did you want me to look up?
Saved out of it, like Jeremiah 37, the word saved.
Okay.
And if you want to, I mean, if you want to even expound on trouble, because I'm just going out of memory.
I think the only thing I wanted to say about the trouble is that a lot of people have this misconception that, and I'm not even really speaking on trouble, that we were going to go through a tribulation after this false rapture, which we probably need to do a teaching on where this false rapture came from and its origin and how they put that upon society, that one man would come, one antichrist, one false rapture, when all the things that are supposed to happen in the tribulation are already taking place all around us. So they had the misconception that there would just be this one 3.5-year tribulation because of poor teaching. The children of Israel have been in tribulation ever since 70 AD when Constantine blended paganism
with
Christianity. But we're going into an even worse time that you're in reference to with Jacob's trouble, which is the fact that I don't know why we just have been taught in the Christian church that we're just going to be raptured out of here. We don't have to go through anything. We're going to be sitting up in heaven eating turkey sandwiches while those who hate the Most High are going to be going through it. And then we're going to come back down here. There's nowhere in the Bible where there's going to be two trips. There's a second coming of Christ.
Right.
And we're going to have to go through some serious persecution. Some might even be beheaded, imprisoned, slain in the streets. We don't know what's coming our way.
I was listening to a YouTube teaching the other day, a Hebraic teaching, you know, with one of our Hebrews, and they had found, and I should have made note of this, but they had somehow got the CIA and the FBI reports and copies from the computer on blacks in America and blacks around the world, and on specifically they called black Hebrews, which is, to me, that's ridiculous, because you can't to suggest that that, you know, they're the black Hebrews, to suggest that, okay, so there are white Hebrews as well, or white Jews as well, as whatever they put. But, you know, I don't want to go there. But it had mentioned.
It's an oxymoron to me,
right,
a black Hebrew.
Right.
A Hebrew is a Hebrew.
Right. Right, exactly. And they had mentioned about some of the things that they were planning on doing, that you had mentioned earlier, you know, to incite riots with us, to incite even us killing each other. and what they were going to do. And you had mentioned about, you know, cutting off heads and being put in prison. And we always been put in prison, so that's really the least of our problem with that. But being just openly killed and nobody, you know, from sending the National Guard to our community to but yet on the news they'll make it look like that we just went crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And so what they're trying to do, which this report was 2009. This YouTube teaching was 2009, and some of the things that they had mentioned back then is already happening. So I know that the report that they were reading was true, wasn't a lie, because this is, you know, they're doing some of this stuff now. And you know, but you know what? I'm not worried about myself or my family or those that have woken up and are living for the Most High. I'm concerned, and I know you are, about those that are not and those that are in the church. Because the thing is that regarding this Bible, is that it's not a Christian Bible. It's not an Islamic Bible, because you got Muslims who use the Bible, you got Christians who use the Bible, and it's neither one of theirs. It's a Hebrew Bible. Talk about Hebrew folk.
Exactly. It's not a religious artifact or religious dossier or markup. It is the documentation and history of the sojourn of a people. It is a history book. People have made it out to be some religious book. This is the book about a people who are lost, that was prophesied in this book would lose their heritage and lose their culture. It's only one group of people that don't know where the heck they came from and who they are, and that they've gotten in trouble with their God, which is why they are lost and are worshiping. You know, that's why I was sharing with you earlier in the week how Isaiah 44 talked about the fact that many people have been are just asleep because they're worshiping gods made by hands and graven images and false gods, which in the Ten Commandments he told us not to do, and we're still doing it. Worshiping crosses made by hands, worshiping wooden crosses made by hands, artifacts and symbols and statues and pictures, and all these things were made by man. And the Most High told us that our people would be asleep. But none considers in their heart the fact that He created all these things, and that we're living up under the oppression, captivity, and the veil. But the veil of the temple has been ripped. But because of our disobedience, we're asleep. We don't have to worry or fear, like you said, when we keep our eyes on the Most High, because He is going to navigate us through this time.
Yeah, the hardest and the biggest obstacle that we have been experiencing, and I'm saying we as in, you know, you and I and other brothers and sisters as well, is that our brothers and sisters in church, they so hypnotized that sometimes I wonder, and I know it could be broken because the word can break anything. It's like a hammer. But sometimes I wonder, will they be broken from this? Because they so into the worship of their pastor that in the worship of the name of the church that they go to, even because if it's a popular church, that they just don't see, nor do they even investigate to even see if what you're saying is true.
Let me read real quick what I was just saying in Isaiah 44 and 17. And there's so much in Isaiah 44. I would have to do a whole lesson on it because it talks about how they make all these graven images in verse 9. And all of them are caught up into vanity, which I spoke about last week. And they're all caught up into their delectable things, which shall not profit, and they are their own witnesses. They see not nor know. that they may be ashamed.
Oh, wait, where are you starting at?
Isaiah 44:9, I'm reading now.
Okay, I'm there.
And verse 10 says, who hath formed a god or molten a graven image that is profitable for nothing? Behold, all his fellows shall be ashamed, and the workmen, they are of men. Let them all be gathered together. Let them stand up. Yet they shall fear, and they shall be ashamed together. These people that are making these idols that people are worshiping. But let's skip over to 17. Isaiah 44:17. And the residue thereof, he maketh a god, even his graven image. He falleth down unto it, and worshipeth it, and prayeth unto it, and saith, deliver me. For thou art my God. All these churches that people are fashioning and decorating and putting their pulpits and crosses and stuff in there, and people running down to these man-made altars and asking for deliverance, and it's not happening. But listen to this even more importantly, verse 18. They have not known nor understood, for he hath shut their eyes that they cannot see. That's what we have to remember. The Most High opens the eyes that he wants to open and shuts the eyes he wants
shut. I stand corrected.
He hath shut their eyes that they cannot see, and their hearts that they cannot even understand. We get upset, you and I confess right now today, at family members and folks we know who just can't understand this truth. We get pissed off like, man, it's so plain to see. But guess what? They can't see it. He's closed their eyes and their hearts because there's a remnant that are dead set on worshiping these images, these idols that are made by man, worshiping a white Christ, which is Caesar Borgia, son of the sixth pope, and was depicted by Michelangelo and Leonardo da Vinci. Talked about the Maccabees when they whitewashed the Dark Ages and presented the Renaissance period, when the Greeks and the Romans conquered us and began to whitewash everything because they didn't want our images on everything. That's when they even took the nose off of the statues in Egypt because they didn't want it to be understood of the lineage and heritage and culture of these people and what they look like.
Mm-hmm.
So when you go on, it says, and none considereth in his heart, neither is there knowledge nor understanding to say, I have burned part of it in fire, yea, also I have baked bread upon the coals thereof, I have roasted flesh and eaten it, and shall I make the residue thereof an abomination? Shall I fall down to the stock of a tree? Let's go down to verse 21, 44 and 21. This is key. Remember these, O Jacob and Israel, for thou art my servant. I have formed thee. Thou art my servant, O Israel. Thou shalt not be forgotten of me. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. That right there says so much. I have sent Christ to redeem you. He paid a price already for all these sins that he knew we were going to commit. Isaiah was prophesying about all
right.
the sins we would commit
right.
in foreign lands, in our captivity. But he's saying that I am sending redemption. So after he said, I've sent redemption to thee, verse 23, sing, O ye heavens, for the Lord hath done it. Shout, ye lower parts of the earth. Break forth into singing, ye mountains, O forests, and every tree therein, for the Lord hath redeemed Jacob and glorified himself in Israel. Remember thee, O Jacob. And it was saying that he's pretty much saying that we have to return. Even though he's provided the redemption, he can't force us to return. And let me go back to what you were saying. This church world is being exposed. They got happy when they start getting TV shows, the Sunday's Best, Preachers of L.A. So what's really happening with all these shows? The covers are being pulled back. They're being exposed. When you remove the covers in the Greek, it's called apokalypto. And so everything that's been going on is being revealed. They're being seen now because they're attracting crowds like Disneyland because they want to hear the music. But they're coming in and seeing all their wickedness, that they're worshiping these false gods. You got homosexuals running rampant. You got the Church of God in Christ. One preacher gets up, goes off against homosexuality and all the faggots that have taken over the church. Excuse my words. I'm sorry if you're offended, but the word offends. And then you got the bishop over the church that comes and apologizes and restores all the homosexuality in the church and says, we accept you and embrace you as you are. So now we have a lukewarm church. People that just really don't care about the so-called church, but he did say judgment will begin in the so-called house of God. So you can't wear this moniker, say you keep the commandments, say you love him, and think you can just go on living any kind of way. So all praises to the Most High that that camp of abomination is being exposed for what it is, so our people can wake up and come back to the truth of the statutes, laws, and commandments.
Man, that's true. And even to bounce off what you said as far as he chooses those who he as far as who he wants to choose to open up the eyes, and to those who he just shut their eyes and they be blind. Matthew 10:35 says, "For I have come to set man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be they in his own household." Meaning that, we are experiencing this even now, that our own family members, those that are in church, are against us, like you have mentioned. Friends that I've had for, you know, since I was a child that I grew up with in church are now against me, you know, because of my eyes been open, and I now, when I read the word, now I know who the word is talking about. And I worship, if I can say this, if anyone that's listening, I'm not trying to offend you, but like you said, the word offends, to worship the real, excuse me for saying this, Elder, the real Jesus, which is Yahshua or Yeshaya, that I worship the real him, not the one that Edom or the slave masters had put into their minds, because that's not the real one. And there's a scripture that just came to my mind. If you don't mind me reading it, it's 2 Corinthians 2:17, and it's regarding these bishops and pastors and elders and evangelists and all these folk. 2:17 says, "For we are not," and this is Shaul, Paul talking, "for we are not as many which corrupt the word of the Most High, but as in sincerity, but as of the Most High, in the sight of the Most High, speak we in Christ," or in the Messiah. You know, that's what they do. They corrupt the word. I'm trying to think of another 2 Timothy. Let me just go there right quick. 2 Timothy 4:1-4. I think. Let me see. 2 Timothy. Sorry, I'm just shooting from the hip here. Hold on. Okay, yeah. I charge, this is 2 Timothy 1:1-4. "I charge thee, therefore, before the Most High and the Master Yeshua the Mashiach, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom." He's talking to Paul, or Shaul is talking to Timothy. "Preach the word, be instant in season and out of season. Reprove," this is something that the church, the preachers don't do, "reprove, rebuke," they don't do that, "exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will endure doctrines, but after their own lusts shall they heap up on themselves teachers," or preachers, "having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth," from the Torah truth, "and shall be turned into fables," into lies, into storytelling. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions. Because here's the thing, when you turn to the truth, whether it's your father against son, mother against daughter, or whatever it be, best friend against former best friend, or whatever, that you're going to endure afflictions when you turn to the Torah, when you turn to the truth of the Most High. But he says, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. You know, and I can go on where he says, you know, but he's about to talk about it at the end of his life. But that is so true about the teachers and preachers having itching ears, turning other people's ears from the truth unto fables. And that's what's going on. And this was prophesied, and it was even happening then, but it was prophesied even now until today, 3,000 years ago.
Right.
And that's amazing.
Brother, you know, the scripture says, you know, I think it's Matthew 12:48, who is my mother? Who is my brother? You know, it is those that do the will of the Most High. So we're going to have to understand that concept as we draw together those that are locked into this will. And that won't depend upon this world for their survival, for their substance and their source, and who will come out from amongst this world. It's going to be a lonely place. And as we talked about earlier in the month, when we get into these sinful holiday seasons, our people get real lonely and feel like really lost, and there's turmoil inside the home and everything because we're raging against spirits of Christmas, eggnog, holidays, lights, and everything else the world is doing, and we're being persecuted financially and spiritually, and we're being attacked because we stand for the truth. So even more so, we have to encourage one another, like you're saying, and exhort, because people are running to false doctrines, and it's a lot of it out there. So there's also a famine in the land for everything that's not of the Most High. And there's a famine in the land for the true word, which is the commandments. Nobody wants to stand on the commandments and cry out loud, spare not, and lift up your voice like a trump in Zion. Isaiah 45:11, we always want to wonder what's going on, but the Most High said, thus said the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, and his Maker. He said, ask me of things to come concerning my sons. He said this. The Most High prophesied through Isaiah and said, ask me of things to come concerning my sons. If you want to know what's going to happen with Israel, the seed of Jacob, in this hour with all the killings, shootings, protests, and everything, he said, ask me of things to come concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands. He said, command ye me. So when I go back to saying, Isaiah 44 said, call for the lamenting and weeping women. It's time for us to pray. It said the book where it said that, you know, if my people call by my name, that we need to go back and start praying from that standpoint. So he said, command ye me. We must demand according to the word that he reveals to us what he wants us to do in this hour, why abstaining from the world, their false doctrine, worried about our family, what they not doing, what they won't do. Come closer to believers, like you, my brother, you are my brother. You are closer to me right now than any blood cousin or blood brother I have, because we stand on the same doctrine and we're holding fast to the same belief and faith. You know, so we have in common the same goals, priorities and principles, and we're abstaining from the same things. We're in this fight together. We're in the trenches. Which puts me in the mind of Nehemiah when the people collectively built the wall. And if anybody remembers how that story goes in the book of Nehemiah, one man was building the wall, and to his back another man had a sword watching his back.
Right,
That's the time that we're coming into, where you got each other's back. One is fighting, one is building, and we're all taking up each front. So we have to remember also in Isaiah 45:17, Most High said, but Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. You're not saved yet. Let me tell you, I'm saved, sanctified, and filled with mighty burning fire. You ain't saved. Isaiah 45:17 says that we shall be saved with an everlasting salvation, and ye shall not be ashamed nor confounded, world without end. When he reveals us to the whole world,
when Christ comes back, that is our salvation. They will all know and they will all be confounded that we truly were the sons of the Most High and that he has a plan for us. So Jacob's trouble is here. But y'all that's out there protesting, talking about we the tribe of Judah, but you got a blunt, a bottle of Hennessy, and a condom.
Right.
And you turning it up.
Foolish.
And you talking about we the people, you out there fighting with everybody and calling the white man the devil, even though he might be or whatever. But you on the wrong track. And we trying to let you know today. It's not even all really about your race, your color. It's about what you do in this hour with these commandments, a circumcision of the heart, and how you stand. Bible said, let the wheat and the tare grow together, and when he comes, he'll separate.
Right. You had mentioned that. I just seen day before yesterday, and I'm not going to mention the name of the congregation because they're a popular congregation, but they were standing on the corner in one of the cities. Looked like it was downtown, and they were preaching, and this woman, possessed with a demon, came up to them, up to this particular person that was teaching, and she was mocking him because, you know, he's teaching from the word and he's teaching the truth, but he's cursing doing it, and he couldn't cast that demon out, not even a little bit. She was laughing at him, and to me that was embarrassing.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why I said if we're gonna turn back all the way, because we're the only people. And matter of fact, this is gonna be a lesson. If you would allow, either speak sometime in the future or next week or something, but that we're in partnership with him. We're joint heirs. So we're the only people on this earth that is in partnership with him. That's why he told us to be holy, for I am holy. You know, and so there's other scriptures as well. I mean, so
maybe you can speak at that at the first formal assembly in the 10th month.
Whatever the Most High put in my heart. You know, so I forgot what point I was trying to make, but we're the only people that is in partnership with the Most High and with the Messiah. And matter of fact, the Messiah says in Colossians that he's the head of the body, the church. Now, the church takes that as the church of any church, but no, the church is Israel. So you can just erase church. It says he's the head of the body, Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, in the Hebrew, it wouldn't say church. It either say kahal or just say Aramaic etta or atta, which is, you know, the word, small word for the testimony or testimonies of the Most High, which is us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so... So that's just going back to what I had mentioned earlier, that he's talking about one group of people, which is not a religion. It's a people.
Right.
And that's us. So, you know, it's just we just need to wake up. And I pray that those who he have called and those who he have chosen will quickly do so and redeem the time, as the scripture says.
Amen to that. I just got, I don't know if you have something else you want to share. I just with an exhortation.
No.
Okay, well, with an exhortation to our people, I just wanted to read we've been trying to exhort your heart and encourage you, and we've talked about what's happening in the church, what's happening in the streets, our society. But let me talk to Israel for a minute so that you that are occupying until he comes are aware. And I'm going to go to Ecclesiasticus
which is also known as Sirach, the 13th chapter. And we know Ecclesiasticus, the book of Ecclesiasticus, is in the Apocrypha. And it's definitely, whether they say it's canon or not, it is the words of the Most High. And it was a part of the 1611 scriptures. And I just want to expose some things to Israel that's separating from the world, so that they'll see how the world operates and what we're expected to do. And this is the wisdom.
Okay, it's 13th chapter and what verse?
I'm going to start at the first verse.
Okay.
Through 24, and stop me at any time if you want to expound. So I'm going to just try to read straight through. I know we're running short on time.
Okay.
Let's see, 13 and 1. Whoever touches tar will get dirty, and those who associate with the arrogant will become like them. Don't lift something that's too heavy for you, and don't associate with people who are more powerful and rich than you are. What does a clay pot have in common with a metal cauldron? The one will knock against the other and be shattered. Rich people inflict injury, but then act as if they're the ones who have been wronged. The poor suffer injury, but they're the ones who must apologize. If you are useful to the rich, they will work with you. But if you are in need, they will abandon you. If you own anything, they will live with you. They will exhaust what you have, and they won't suffer. If they need you, they will deceive you and smile at you and give you hope. They will speak nicely to you and say, "What do you need?" They will embarrass you with their fine foods until they have cleaned you out two or three times over. In the end, they will mock you. And after these things, they will see you and abandon you and shake their heads at you. Take care that you don't go astray and don't be humiliated by your own foolishness. When powerful people invite you, show yourself reluctant, and they will invite you all the more. Don't be forward, or you might be rejected, and don't stand far off, or you might be forgotten. Don't think that you can speak with them as an equal, and don't trust in their lengthy conversations, because they will test you with a lot of talking. And when they are smiling, they are really examining you. Ecclesiastes 13 and 12. Those who won't guard your secrets are cruel, and they won't spare you from mistreatment and imprisonment. Be on guard and pay attention, because you are tiptoeing around your own downfall. All living creatures love what is like them, and all people their neighbors. All beings gather together with their own kind, and people cling to those who are like them. What does a wolf have in common with a lamb? So sinners have nothing in common with the godly. What peace is there between a hyena and a dog? And what peace is there between the rich and the poor? Wild asses in the desert are prey for lions, so the poor are feeding grounds for the rich. The arrogant detest humility, so the rich detest the poor. When rich people stumble, they are supported by friends. But when the humble fall, their own friends push them away. When the rich slip, their helpers are many. They speak things that shouldn't be spoken, and people justify them. The humble slip, and people criticize them as well. They utter something sensible, and no one pays attention. The rich speak, and everyone is silent. And what they say is praise to the heavens. The poor speak, and they say, "Who is this?" And if the poor stumble, others push them down all the more. Wealth is good as long as it's free of sin. The ungodly speak of poverty as an evil end and of itself. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and doing of that word, and understanding right there of how to separate yourself.
That's a good one there.
That was Sirach 13, 1 through 24. I suggest that we really apply that as some wisdom.
I totally agree with you. Totally agree.
Okay, brother, I know you got another class to get to. You want anything you got to say to the crowd, to the audience?
No, just to those who are, of the body to those who are being called, and you know, you're living the Torah way of the Mashiach, and you know, you are even still, the truth is as it is to me and as it is to you, it's still being revealed to us, little by little, spoonful by spoonful, drink by drink. Don't get frustrated, even though it's very hard. Just know that you know, these times were already prophesied, and that we will be saved. He will bring us back.
Yeah.
And I just want to say this, because this bothered me too. I'm just going to say this, and I'm going to shut up. Let's go all the way back to him in every way, Torah way, culture way that we're supposed to go back. One of the things that I do not like now, sorry, ladies, is these weaves and these wigs, because it's like, I mean, because it seems as though that they're starting to come more like us by the spray paints, the larging of the lips, the larging of the butts, the hairstyles. And we're started trying to be more like them with the straightening of the hair, the long length of straight hair. Get rid of that stuff. Let's just go back. Let's go all the way back. No half doing nothing. Let's not try to look like them, act like them, while they're trying to look like and act like us. I think they're doing it because they're trying to hide. That, me personally, you know, because sometimes watching television, it's hard to now tell at times, like, is that person black, or is that, you know, because they spray themselves with, you know, with tanning sprays and do their hair in a certain kind of way and have a black woman's butt. That's kind of hard to tell at times. Meanwhile, we're getting weaves and wigs and all this kind of stuff, and you know, trying to look more like them. Just forsake all this stuff and return back to the Torah, because here's the truth. The truth of the matter is, you look beautiful without makeup, and men with all these other things that you throw on your face and on your body, and that men, most men that I know, and I even ask them, because I've, you know, my trade has been a barber and I do my own personal surveys, most men prefer a woman to be natural anyway. No makeup, no nothing, just you being you. You know, it's like, so, you know, so let's just forsake all that. And when you return to the Torah, you're the natural beauty, I think, starts coming. Your dress, your hairstyle, everything starts kick back in. And so, you know, I just want to encourage. And you know, same with men, like, you know, let's stop all these other hairstyles and whatever. It's not only women, it's men too. Let's just go all the way back, all the way back, because there's nothing greater than a people who, you know, with our culture, this, I mean, it's envied upon the earth. And so while we're still steady trying to get rid of it and to worship other gods, I'm going to say this and then be quiet, Elder. I'm sorry for going over.
No, it's
but
all good.
I read it in the scripture. I can't remember the scripture. How the nations have plundered us. And now, just to let you know how rich we are as a people, do you know how long they've been plundering us? Thousands of years. And still, they got stuff to plunder. They still got stuff to drain out of us. That means that we must be one powerful, rich people if for thousands of years, imagine for thousands of years, for example, using this for example, you have a pipeline, and for 3,000, 4,000, 5,000, 6,000 years, you've been draining oil from the same place without it running out. That's a lot of oil. For thousands of years, and I don't know, it's more than three, because, you know, we've been getting drained since, you know, since we arrived in Canaan, the Philistines started draining us. We've been getting drained for thousands of years, and they're still more to drain, more to plunder. How much more rich will we become in every aspect if we return back to the Most High and to the Mashiach? So I encourage our people to think about that and, you know, and start to begin to take back those things that has been stolen from us. As the song says, take back what the devil, that's what the song up
there. Yeah.
Take it back, though. Like, you know, but you have to take it back by returning to the Most High. And, you know, it'll come back to us.
The children of Israel always got in trouble for taking on the customs of idolatrous nations. And we're doing the same thing here. Tribe of Judah, Ephraim, Benjamin, Gad. That's the your African-Americans, so-called African-Americans, your Latinos, your Indians. Now, it's kind of hard to tell who's who from the seed line because there's been a lot of mixing of races, but there are some notable physical characteristics of the children of Israel, or I should say of every nation. Let me say that, of every nation that is different. And we know who's following idols, idolatrous gods. But you know who you are. The children of Israel know they're the children of Israel because they know they're being called out to serve the Most High through the commandments. The Ruach is plucking your heart. That's how you know you're the seed. If you want to know if you're of the seed, it's because you're being led away from heathenism, the Gentile way, and idolatry. And he's calling you into something else. You've been questioning the status quo. You've been questioning the Christian church your whole life. You've been searching and looking. He's calling you. You are the seed. And we know, brother, only a third is going to make it. The other two-thirds will be destroyed in the fire of the bombs and missiles, World War, Armageddon, everything that's coming. And only a third is going to make it. So you that want to go around here, you black as tar with a blonde wig, like my brother said, and it's some brothers, too. I just seen a pro baseball player from Cuba who bleached his skin white and put on blue contacts because he doesn't want to be of dark, you know, descent. He doesn't want to be associated with that. He wants to be associated with a heathenistic nation and kingdom. So if everybody's blended in, it's just to cause confusion because we know in the end, Jacob's trouble. Nation shall rise against nation, which means race, and kingdom against kingdom. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just so just stay encouraged.
Be encouraged, Israel. It's Kwam Yasha'Allah. So the only for sure obstacle to truth is to think that you already have it. For truth is a journey and not a destination. This has been Blueprint for Life, the way to live your life through the commandments here with At Last Ministries, House of Israel, Deliverance Assembly. I'm Elder V, along with Elder Andre. Just want to say Tawada, Elder Andre, for those words. And to the rest of Israel, enjoy the rest of your Sabbath, your Shabbat. Kwam Yasha'Allah Barakatah. Which means rise, Israel, and be blessed.
Shalom.
Shalom.
Lucifer, son of the morning, I'm gonna chase you out of earth.
Out of earth, I'm gonna send him to outer space.
I've gone with him, hon. I'm gonna